Welcome back. Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980. 910 The Fan, if you're listening in Richmond, thank you for that. And Monumental Sports Network 2. It's time now to head out to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome in Joel Corey, former sports agent. Does analysis for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Joel, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Joel, take us inside the room when you're negotiating with a team. Who do you generally negotiate with? Is it the general manager? Do they have a chief negotiator? How does it work?
Typically, most teams have a team negotiator, and a lot of times the team negotiator will outlast the regime changes.
Right.
In Tennessee, Vin Marino has been there since 2007. They've had multiple head coaches and GMs.
Mm-hmm.
I know they brought someone over, I think, from the league office, which is where a lot of these guys come from, through management council around the league. So Adam Peters has more of a scouting background. That hasn't been his domain, at least in San Francisco. That was Prague Maratha, was the head of that, and Brian Hampton. But he may be taking more of a hands-on approach in negotiations than he ever did in the past.
Joel, were you surprised by the Adam Schefter comments yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, where he was basically saying that the McLaurin camp, they're looking for higher than what DK Metcalf signed for with the Pittsburgh Steelers? It seems like the Commanders aren't willing to go anywhere near that number. Were you taken aback by where these negotiations seem to have stalled at this point?
No, I understand why Terry would want more than DK Metcalf, but because he's been more productive. It's the same draft class, but he's 2 years older, and Metcalf is 6'4", 235 pounds, and runs really, really fast. That's a whole different type of receiver. So if you look at his upside and the fact that he's younger, I understand why the Commanders don't want to go there either. The part that got me was when Schefter was speculating way more, and I'm like, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The Sutton deal also, although I think Terry's better, you know, it's not like he's light years better. I mean, there's some comps there, and I don't think this deal helps Terry's camp at all.
It doesn't help for the Commanders get closer to Terry's number. The statistics were nearly identical last year. They're basically the same age. I think Sutton's a month
younger.
Yeah. I forget. No,
I think he's a month younger.
Yeah, he was born in October. Yeah. Terry is September.
Yeah, then he's a month younger. But they're different tier receivers. Don't forget that Courtland Sutton, you can make a case, wasn't the one before they traded Jerry Jeudy. And last year was an outlier for Courtland Sutton, had a 1,000-yard year since 2019. So I put this in the same, almost in the same category as Garrett Wilson, was something Terry was going to point to. Now the Commanders can point to this. They'll cancel each other out. This deal would actually be a pay cut, because the new money average on Terry's current contract is $23.2 million. That's the base value before you start adding any incentives that he actually earned in escalators.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know you're just speculating, Joel, but give us an idea of what you think the Commanders are offering to Terry, and what do you think Terry's asking for in terms of numbers?
Well, if Terry's thinking, I can reap the benefit of this Jamar Chase escalation, that's never going to happen.
Yeah,
because
right.
He's at $40.25 million. Justin Jefferson's at $35 million per year, number two, although it's a slightly backloaded deal for Chase. Never going to happen. I don't know. The Commanders, they're never getting a deal done if they don't get above T. Higgins, which is $28.75 million per year, because that's the highest paid number two receiver. Terry's a one. T. Higgins may be a one on a whole lot of other teams, but not on the team he plays for. And he signed to top the number two receiver market ahead of Jalen Waddle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're probably going to have the first digit as a three.
Right.
To get a deal done.
So you think that Terry's asking for low 30s, and what do you think the Commanders?
I think he's asking for more than DK Metcalf.
So more than 33.
Sure,
Yeah, but that's room to come back.
Looking at the most are AJ Brown and DK Metcalf because there's draft class, although they're younger. I suspect that's where he's looking.
Mm-hmm.
If he's looking way more than that, this is going to be a long negotiation.
Joel, can you give us some background on Buddy Baker, his representative? We know that he's been his agent since he's been in the league. Can you fill us in on some of his other clients? We know that McLaurin is his most high-profile name that he represents. What's his reputation in the agent world?
He doesn't have particularly good or bad reputation in the agent world. He's able to get the last deal done in a timely manner, so that kind of tells you something right there. That we know that he is able to get a deal done when necessary.
Where is the leverage that Terry has? Because from my perspective, it looks like the team's just not going to budge, and they're just going to force him if they're so far away that they're not going to meet him halfway. So they're just going to force him to play on this. Terry's probably going to request a trade. They're not going to trade him. Terry's not going to sit out a year because that'd be career suicide, I think, in my opinion, at this stage of his career. I just don't see any reason for the team to budge.
Well, you're trying to build on the momentum of last year of overachieving. I saw a stat where Jaden Daniels, and when thrown to receivers, averaged like 9 yards per attempt to carry 12.
Yeah, it was markedly better with Terry.
Interception, markedly better with Terry.
Yeah.
You're not getting back to the NFC Championship without him. That's his leverage. You do need him to get to where you want to go.
But he's not going to sit out, Joel. He's not going to sit out. Yeah.
Of course not. He's stuck from this standpoint. I know he didn't want the $50,000 per day fine.
Right.
But once you come in, you essentially can't leave. Well, you can, but then you give the team the hammer. They have the right, once you walk out, to send you a 5-day letter, which basically says you have to return within 5 days of receipt of this letter. If you don't, we have the right to put you on the reserve left squad list. And then that's the nuclear option. If they put you on that list, you're done for the year. Hmm. You can't play for anybody else. And your contract tolls, so he'd be repeating the 2025 contract year in 2026. Now, for an important player, let's say Micah Parsons did the same thing, the Cowboys might send him the letter, may delay it. But they certainly would wait before putting someone on the reserve left squad list because that hurts. It's mutually assured destruction.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if Terry's not happy with the offers and it's never going to get any better, he'll play. You might have a disgruntled Terry McLaurin in the locker room, which nobody wants. And then you're looking at a franchise tag, which is going to be slightly over $30 million.
Right.
I know his salary is a lot less, but it's not based on salary. It's more or less based on cap number for a couple of modifications. So the 120% increase would apply essentially to his cap number. So you're going to be right around $30.2 million. So he's like, well, if I don't like the offer, you don't give me something I need to think about in his mind, then I'll do that. And would the Commander stick a franchise tag on him for that amount is the question.
Mm-hmm. What is your guess?
Depends on how the year goes.
Right.
If they take a step backwards, probably not. And then he's a year older, and he's got to go out and try to get what he wants in the open market after what probably wouldn't be as good of a year as he had this year if he's a distraction.
What do you think of the chances that they trade him this year? I think it's probably zero.
Zero. Yeah, they're trying to win. He could requesting a trade eventually becomes something out of the agent player playbook, and the team may or may not honor it, and I don't think they're going to honor it.
Right.
If they were going to trade him, if they thought that signability was an issue, they would have done it before the draft and found his long-term replacement, because you can't really get someone unless you make a player-for-player trade that could come in and help you this year, and this team has Super Bowl aspirations.
So knowing everything that you know, and we all kind of seem to know the same sort of publicly reported stuff, where we are in the calendar, the fact that Terry's already now holding in, it's only a matter of time before he starts practicing, what is the likelihood, if your best guess, based on your experience, that they come to some sort of agreement?
Yeah, they will eventually, and it'll probably won't be what Terry wants. It'll be more than the Commanders want. Adam Peters comes from a place that is used to acrimonious negotiations up until this year. It seems like everyone who wanted to get paid in San Francisco had a hard time getting paid and eventually did. You're going to be above T. Higgins. I suspect it'll be $30 million or more, maybe not much more than that. If you took McLaren's current deal and adjusted for salary cap inflation, you're basically at $31 million per year.
Mm-hmm. And how many
seems
years?
Seems so easy.
I mean, how many years guaranteed is your best guess?
The first two, what's going to be in 2025 and 2026 will be fully guaranteed. There may be some amount guaranteed in 2027. The question will be, will the 2027 injury guarantee convert to being fully guaranteed in 2027? Mm-hmm. Will it convert a year early, which is what you want as an agent, next March in 2026?
Joel, what did you think of the Courtland Sutton deal, considering that, you know, where he kind of ranks in terms of receivers in the league, and he got $41 million guaranteed of the 92. He does have 18 touchdowns the last 2 years. Last year obviously helped him a lot because of Bo Nix, but his quarterbacks have sucked over his career for the most part. But what did you think of that deal?
Yeah, well, Terry's have been terrible until last year.
I agree.
I thought, yeah, that looks like a Calvin Ridley, Michael Pittman type deal. So that's how I looked at it.
Right.
Joel, one more question before we go. What did you make of Stephen Jones's comments? Because you touched on Micah Parsons. He's the executive VP of the Cowboys. He said, "We want to pay Micah too. He's got to want to be paid." It's kind of a weird statement to come out of Stephen Jones.
That's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard an owner say. It's Dallas being Dallas. Those guys, I think they like to hear themselves. That's why they talk. If you want a blueprint of how not to handle your star players, the Dallas Cowboys have written the playbook.
Yeah.
Wow.
And what's your prediction on Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati?
He'll eventually cave at some point. Cincinnati is an irrational team in a lot of respects. Remember, they were perfectly content to let Carson Palmer retire years ago until Jason Campbell got hurt, and then they traded him. Hendrickson will eventually probably take their deal with no guaranteed money in the second year. I wouldn't be opposed to that from the standpoint that when they do deals like that, the cash flow is phenomenal. So if you can front load that thing like crazy, as they've done in the past with some guys like Trey Waynes, Vontaze Burfict, and Carlos Dunlap, then there's a way where you could make that work.
Joel, thanks for the time, man. We always appreciate it. It's Joel Corey from CBS Sports, former sports agent, giving some great insight into Terry McLaurin and more. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Joel.
Of course.
All right, buddy.
You can check out his work on CBSSports.com.
He's more optimistic. I mean, he's very matter of fact. He seems like he's not super emotional about it. Obviously, you know, agent has to be level headed. He thinks they're going to come to an agreement.
Right.
I'll be heading to Switzerland and Italy, and I come back on August 8th and then back in studio August 11th.
Yep.
Will this still be a topic on August 11th?
Yes.
I'm going to say they've come to an agreement by the 11th.
Oh, really? You're an optimist.
Because I thought it would be before the date that's in the book.
So the first preseason game is the day I come back.
It's taking longer than I thought. It's been more protracted than I ever thought it would be.
Oh, yeah. I initially thought it was going to be done by like 4th of July.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like, no problem. They'll come to an agreement. You know, these are two opposing sides, obviously, but they'll find a meeting place in the middle. Seems like that middle's been tough for them to
So you
approach.
Think it happens in the next 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think within 2 weeks.
Something gets done.
Somehow the sides
I mean,
are
you might
move.
Be right. I mean, based on what we've heard and how far away, you know, how big the gap is.
Right.
I would say probably after he gets back, but
Joel Corey made it seem easy.
Well, he's done 100 of these deals.
But it's never that easy.
Right. A lot of moving parts.
You're right.
All right, we'll do EB's entertainment page when we come back here on The Fan.